With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Hey, happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. I think the Bears mostly did. It's Carmen and Yurk. We're recapping the draft today. We'll sprinkle in a few things from the weekend that was. A little baseball, the NBA playoffs, I thought were pretty great this weekend after kind of a dud in that opening weekend. It was fun. Got home just in time to see.
It's getting lively.
I got home in time. I was just telling Chris and Adam, my son had a couple of baseball games yesterday, but I got home in time to see the fourth quarter of the Mavs-Clippers game, and I saw the best 12 minutes of it. It's fantastic. Love that. So watch some of the Suns and the, boy, did they go out meekly in the Timberwolves last night. So we'll sprinkle a little of that fun stuff in, but we are hot and heavy on the NFL and the Bears draft. Free agency is in the rear view. So is the draft. I think just reiterating what most of us had said Friday, we feel pretty good about this. The way the board fell for them last Thursday, where Odunze was there for them to take him, fantastic. I think he's got an incredibly bright future. I don't know if everybody heard, and if you didn't, make sure you check out Roma Dunze on the station with Bleck and Abdallah. Because of the technical difficulties at Buffalo Wild Wings late in our show Friday, and Waddle and Sylvia had to hightail it back, Chris and Adam filled
in. They were scrambling.
They got to talk
but
to Caleb.
Who better to fill in than these two guys?
Nobody. They're super capable.
Storied veterans.
They talked to Caleb Williams. They talked to Roma Dunze. I went back this weekend. We were still at the bar. We didn't hear it live. I caught up on Saturday. And you can go on the YouTube pages. Go on Bleck and Abdallah's YouTube page or the stations, and you can find it there. But I was like, Roma Dunze was fantastic with these guys. Like, and Caleb, we know, is a good personality, too. I mean, I don't think it's an act with Caleb Williams. I think he's pretty authentic in the way he carries himself. He's a little cocky. That's fine. I want my quarterback cocky.
Confident.
I want a little, I don't mind confident, a little hubris, cocky, right? Yeah. Like Yurko always says, you don't think Dan Marino and Brett Favre walked in knowing they were the cock of the walk? Like, they should be a little cocky.
The minute they were walking in, they were looking for the hottest chick.
Yeah, like,
that's the way it worked for them.
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
And so Caleb's got a good personality, I think, because of it. I was blown away by Roma Dunze with Chris and Adam. How personable and how, like, thoughtful he was and sort of into the interview he was with them. And I'm assuming you guys agree with that assessment.
Yeah, he seemed genuinely excited.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah, he wasn't above doing a radio interview, which sometimes these high-profile professional athletes who are super famous, you know, they're on everyone's podcast now. Yeah. They're on every TV show. Like, Caleb, I thought, was good for what that setting was. You know what I mean? Like, we weren't in person.
Right.
He's done
a million of them.
Thousand different interviews. But, like, Roma Dunze was, like, into it.
If he lives up to the hype, like, player-wise, he's going to be a star here.
Agreed.
Because of his personality. Like, he is great to talk to. It seemed like through all the behind the scenes draft stuff that they do afterwards, all the different interviews and all the stuff that they post, like, he seems like a genuinely good dude, and he will be a star here in Chicago if he hits. Like,
100%. Yeah. And it always comes down to, like, how good are you? That's like Yurko said, Friday, you got to go be good now. You could talk about being a face of the league, and the league might want you someday to be the face of the league. You don't do that by being average, you do that by being great. So you got to go out and they've got to be great. And if they fire, I think it's going to be fabulous for all of us. You know, for fans, I think both of them have the kind of personalities that are going to win over fans, especially if they're good. But yeah, like it, I kept thinking to myself, like, what they were able to do with two top 10 picks, you know. And there's been a couple of times in Bears history, you know, we'll sort of call it in the more modern draft era since like 65. When, of course, they got Buckus and Sayers. And, you know, for whatever reasons, those teams never hit to the level that you'd expect with two great generational players like Buckus and Sayers. But there were a couple of other times, too, when the Bears had a pair of top 10 picks. And they normally walked away doing quite well. I think Denell Wolford and Trace Armstrong, if I'm not mistaken, were both selected in the top 10. Both were very good players and had very good careers, had good Bears careers. And and in other places as well. In the case of Trace Armstrong,
Trace went to Miami. Continued on.
Yeah,
he had 100 plus sacks, I believe, in his career.
I believe he did. Yeah, and so you know, you expect to do well and hit home runs with those guys. And I really kept thinking all weekend, like I feel like the Bears did that. Yeah, sure, they've got to go out and prove it over the next, you know, over the course of their careers. But I walked away thinking like what they accomplished Thursday was so good. They added an O lineman on Friday, a local kid. Knew nothing about him. Obviously, we're not really watching the Ivy League.
We're not watching Yale.
Smart kid. Kid from Yale. He went to Hinsdale Central. Lifelong Bear fan.
6'5", change.
Monster of a kid.
Long just arms. Monster. Good feet. Not a ton of football experience.
Not a ton, and not a ton of tackle. Only played a handful of games this last year because he partially tore his quad. So he missed a pretty big chunk of his last year at Yale. Was not able to finish the season. Played a lot of guard there. Not as much tackle. Definitely more of a project. But it does, you know, at least it's a project at a position in which we were thinking that the Bears might be interested in adding. And that's what they did. They also added an edge rusher out of Kansas by the name of Austin Booker. They went back into the draft to get him on day three.
On day three.
Look, the head scratcher is Tory Taylor. A great accent, by the way. He's Australian. So that's cool.
What position does he play, Carm? Don't hide it from the people.
He's a punter. Now, the punter at Iowa is important because Iowa's offense is so rudimentary and so bad.
You got a lot of work.
The punter gets a lot of work. He's good. Yurko asked the question. I feel like doing it with the callers, but we'll just do it. We'll have fun with it. Yurko asked the question upstairs. Name the best punter in the NFL. He said this to me and Black and Abdallah and Danny Zetterman. And
no answers.
Well, I said, I think I know who it is, but I don't know his name. Am I crazy? It's the guy in Kansas City with the hair.
The guy from somewhere.
What's his name? I can't pull his name.
The guy from somewhere, right?
Buckner?
No, that's their kicker. He's good, too. But their punter, I think, is good.
They're all the same, Carl.
I said, who's the worst punter in the league?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Name five. Can you name five?
Five. I could name five
What's
punters.
What's the disparity between the top guy and the bottom guy?
Who's the guy in Kansas City?
I think it's minuscule. I don't know, nor do I care. I think the point is it's minuscule. The top punter and the worst punter in the league, the difference is minuscule. Statistically minuscule. That's what I'm trying to tell you. What did this guy average punt at Iowa?
I don't know.
Come on now. You gotta sit there and you gotta guess at the very least.
What did he
entertain
average?
Me?
His net
what
or
was
his
gross? Punting
his
average?
Net,
his
right?
gross.
His gross.
46.
The gross is going to be bigger.
46.4, something like that. By the way, and it doesn't matter sometimes how you punt, your coverage unit, what's the quality of your coverage unit. Punting is only half the thing. Your cover group has got to get their asses down there and they got to cover, or they got to stop the ball from getting into the end zone.
Or
so
you
it's
have
not
to be,
simply like, always about the punter.
Like some guys are real good with the English, though, right?
Okay,
like,
my thing is 46.5, right?
Is that what it was?
What did our punter with the Chicago Bears average last year?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, I did. I took the time.
You did?
I took the time. 46.1.
Get out.
Yes. So what are you doing? What are you doing?
But there's got to be some noise in those numbers.
What are you doing is my point.
I don't know.
What? It takes a certain level of arrogance out of your general manager to want to waste a fourth rounder on a punter. It takes a certain amount of arrogance. Now, that's fine if you do what Kansas City has done.
Like win Super Bowls?
And you get to Super Bowls and you go in the AFC Championship games, right? And then you hit a home run in the first round with two picks. It looks like you did some solid work in the third round. I give you all the credit in the world for coming back in and getting something that you like that you know might be a problem for your Chicago Bears. You liked it. You were aggressive. Traded a fourth rounder for a fifth rounder this year. You went and did that. All great. All fantastic. But what's the level of arrogance that an individual has to have? How good and frothy must you feel about yourself to sit there and go, watch this. I'm going to take a punter. Ridiculous. Might be one of the stupidest decisions I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean, fourth round punters for me.
But
you know,
it will not sully the draft.
No, it
for
doesn't
me.
Sully it at
it
all.
It won't sully it, but it just makes me think
a
about.
A head scratcher.
Why? I mean, what? Why? What for? It doesn't make sense. Unless you just had everybody's been patting you on the back all weekend because of the first and the ninth pick, and you decide, watch what I'm going to do now. I'm going to do this.
Any chance they're getting cute, like with the new kickoff rules, and like there's something? Now he's not a kicker; he's a punter. But sometimes you've seen punters be kickoff specialists, right, Yerk? Any chance they've got some idea?
Craig Henrik was a guy that kicked field goals and also punted, right? Punted, also kicked field goals, also kicked kickoffs
and
for
us. Kickoffs too, right?
Instead of Chris Jackie. So
right.
I've seen that happen before.
So, like, any chance with the new rules, like, there's something they like about his skill set that they think they're gaining, in an advantage? I don't know. Fourth-round punter when you could, you know.
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
I don't know. I'm just wondering.
I don't know what's in the mind of the madness of somebody that's going to waste a fourth-round pick on a punter.
A fourth-round pick?
Fourth-round pick on a punter.
Can anybody name five punters in the NFL without cheating? Like,
problem.
Seriously.
I can't. Our guy's name, I think, is Mims.
No.
And that's only because I looked him up.
Our guy's Gill. Trent Gill is
Gill,
the punter.
Close. Four letters.
I mean, I know our punter, Gill. But I'm a, you know.
He was our guy. Well, there's no way you're going to have.
He's gone.
But I can't name five punters.
And like, let's face it, we watch an obscene amount of football.
All we do is watch football.
I don't think I could name five punters. There's Trent Gill. He'll be on some team. There's Tommy Townsend. Right, I think that's the kid in Kansas City, if I have that right. Hold on. Isn't there like a.
Oh, I got one. Pat McAfee.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, did he not punt?
He punted. He's got to be a punter
but he was a punter.
Yeah,
Pat Manley.
No, Pat Manley wasn't a punter.
He's a long snapper.
Stop it. I'm trying to think. Can I name five current NFL punters?
No, you can't.
Tommy Townsend. I'm picturing one that's pretty good that I can't place his name.
You can't place their name because they don't matter. They do not matter.
Can anybody honestly
waste the fourth pick?
Can you give us a number?
Punter?
I can't give you a number. Can anybody without cheating, like, honestly call and name five punters in the NFL right now?
My
like,
biggest
seriously.
Problem
like,
is that
don't cheat.
Iowa fans this weekend were all up in everyone's mentions saying how great this guy was and how he's the reason that they beat Wisconsin 15-6. If the Bears are beating teams 15-6, we got problems.
I mean, come on.
Like, that's a problem. The Iowa offense was the butt of jokes on this show for 2 years.
Did you guys see the quotes that were going around after he was drafted from Caleb Williams?
No. Oh, I did. Caleb
did you see that?
Caleb was, you're not going to be needed much, right?
Is that what he said? It's that.
Caleb welcome. You're not going to be needed that
hey,
much here.
I'm Thank glad you. That they just blew a fourth-round pick on you. We're not going to need you.
We're not going
to
need you.
How about that? Welcome to the team. That's fantastic.
Go back to Australia. I don't know. I can't believe that. Maybe I can believe it. Like, can I really not name four punters? I watch football. That's all I do in the fall.
You know
in the winter
because,
is watch football.
Yeah,
I can't name
you know
five punters.
Because you're going to the bathroom.
Because right.
you're like, oh.
You're dropping a deuce.
It's fourth and
seven. When the third down fails, where are you going? You're straight to the hood.
Time to go to the bathroom real quick. Time to get another drink. Like, time to get more food.
I can name three running backs on the Cowboys before I can name five punters in the NFL. Like,
yeah.
I can't name any. Who am I?
Someone in the Twitch chat said the net average yards between the worst and the best punter is 7 yards.
7 yards?
That's net.
That's
got
net.
To do with coverage units, guys.
Yeah,
no,
got,
I know.
Yeah, that's what I see. That's the one I got to keep knocking on here. McFly, not for you, but for the person that sent it in. That's got all to do with coverage units and how good your special teams are.
But that's part
not
of
specifically
it too.
What your punter is. No, it's not. The punter is gross coverage. The guys that cover the guys that are responsible.
But in fairness, I
how
did.
How many jackaloons have you seen on Sundays? The ball gets punted. It's careening down the field on the 10. It's being let go. And you got two butchers of Lyon get down there, and they mishandle the ball and kick it into the end zone.
They trip over themselves, the whole thing.
I've seen
it.
Now, I did see some highlights of this kid, in fairness, where he's got, now he's Australian, but he's got English. You know what I'm talking about. He's got the good English on the ball where he had it. He gets it like a golfer. He had it check a couple times, like around the five. Like, that's pretty impressive.
Fourth round pick.
Yeah, well, please, you don't have to tell me.
Fourth round pick.
I saw it and I was like, really? Now we're drafting punters?
I think this
round?
Is why we need to cut a promo because this is why Yurko is here.
Drafted
to
punters.
Let all those nerds out there just looking at punter highlights, like, this is not fourth round.
Who can
Yurko, this is why you're here to tell the masses that this is ridiculous.
Punter highlights. I mean, really.
Please, it's beyond the point of being ridiculous. I said the pick comes from a position of arrogance, and it's a position, an arrogance that the Chicago Bears do not have. They don't have it. You haven't done anything yet. You've won seven games. At what position are you with a limited amount of draft choices to say, hey, with the fourth rounder, if you took the defensive end with the fourth rounder and you didn't take the punter, you had a perfect draft.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have, you didn't have to spend a pick from next year.
That's right.
You could have taken the pass rusher.
You had a perfect draft at that point. Instead, you took a punter.
You have me thinking of you have me thinking of Liam Neeson in Taken. Your arrogance offends me. The price just went up 10%.
Yes, Shetcher.
Shetcher.
How do you say sugar? Shetcher.
Yurko's like Liam Neeson at the table right now with Poles and the rest of the crew. Your arrogance offends me. You're drafting a punter in the fourth round.
I don't understand. But again, it's not going to sully my feeling for the team, and it's not going to sully my feelings for most of what they did in the draft. But it does. It does. It makes you wonder if they got too many pats on the back.
Punter.
You know? Too many shakes, reverse grips for the guy. I think he was feeling too good of himself by Saturday. He goes, let me screw this thing up for a bit.
The Bears are still getting high marks. I'll read you what Mel Kiper wrote about the pick of the punter and some other stuff here. The Bears are still getting high marks.
How much does it take your grade down, the punter?
If I was going to give him a B plus, I'd give him a B. A half a grade.
Right.
Half a grade. Yeah.
Okay. So you're giving them a B?
A third grade.
I'd probably say
from an A to an A minus.
I'd go from like an A minus to a B plus.
Okay.
I'd say the draft was like A minus, but because they drafted a punter in the fourth round, it goes down to a B plus.
A to an A minus for me.
Yeah. A to an A minus. That's strong. Okay, great.
I told you, it's not going to totally upset me. I just want to know, what were you thinking?
They went from like a 91 to an 89.
What were you doing?
Still pretty good.
It's like when the Bears took Garrett Wolf knowing he could never be a starting running back. He was a gadget guy. Gadget guys.
I'm going to try to find the names of some punters in the NFL. I can't believe that I can only name two.
Old school good. Ray Guy, Jeff Gossett, Reggie Roby. I can name the old guys.
The old McAfee.
Guys. McAfee.
The old guy.
312-332-3776. We'll start taking your Bears calls. A lot of people want to chat Bears, recap the draft with us. In all honesty, what you really did think, how excited you are, and maybe not just for the top, but maybe some of the depth pieces that they tried to add, minus the punter, the more you learned about them. And look, the players are a little bit more obscure. Most of us don't know about the situational pass rushers at Kansas or linemen, certainly at Yale. I don't think many of us are watching Ivy League football on Saturdays. But as you learn about them, things that you like, some takeaways from the weekend, 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back.
No.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
No.
All right, Bears fans, we're going to take a bunch of your calls here in a second. Recapping the draft, it's Carmen and Yurko. Watch us today and every day on our YouTube page. Yeah, we have our own channel. Just search at Carmen and Yurko. Make sure you like and subscribe. Subscribe. We're live in our State Street studios. You can ring us up at 312-332-3776. Mel Kiper gave the Bears a B, Yurko. He liked what they did mostly, especially at 1 and 9, of course. I think everybody loves those picks. He did write this. I don't love a team with only a handful of selections taking a punter in round 4, but at least Torrey Taylor was the best at his position. That's what Mel writes about Torrey Taylor. Waddle agrees with you. He said it on Saturday that it's an arrogant pick.
Yeah.
Meller wanted the Bears to take him in round 3. Sometimes Meller surprises me, like the running back stance sometimes, like they should sign Josh Jacobs drafting punters. Like,
there's
what?
No position.
Meller sometimes, I think, forgets, like, he's so good at fantasy.
Yep.
Sometimes I think he forgets that, like, there's fantasy football and there's real football.
But in this situation, he plans on drafting Taylor and putting him on his roster and just not playing him out of position. Just to be on the roster. He wants this punter that he wanted to draft in the third round on the roster, so he just take up a position and then never play him. But just so he can say he has.
Meller knows a lot about football, but sometimes I think his wires get crossed.
Yeah.
Because of all the fantasy stuff he does.
I can believe that.
Yeah. You know, like, I think there's like we got to sit him down and have a chat with him if you want a team drafting a punter in round 3. Come on.
Well, you got to sit and have a chat with Ryan Poles picking a punter in round 4. What are you doing?
I want to read you one more thing before we get to the phones. Jordan Reed and Matt Miller, who are some of the draft gurus for ESPN.com, did a thing this weekend. I think they put it out Sunday after the draft was over, where they answered a bunch of questions. And one of them was, by round, York, the best value pick, in their opinion.
The value pick by round.
Yeah.
All right.
Best fifth-round value pick, according to Matt Miller, Chicago Bears, Austin Booker, edge.
Kansas.
Yes. Turn on Booker's tape from the games against Illinois or Texas, and you'd think that the Bears drafted him in the second or the third round. The issue is he wasn't consistent and logged just over 500 snaps in his college career. The Bears are betting on his developmental upside at a position of need. Booker can learn from, by the way, he was number 87 overall. The Bears got him at 144. On Miller's board, he was the 87th best player. And the Bears got him at 144. Booker can learn from Montez Sweat in a great situation for his NFL acclimation after finishing last season with 8 sacks for Kansas. So Miller thinks that the best value pick in round 5, and the Bears had to trade back in to get in that round 5 pick, was Austin Booker. And let's see what kind of an impact he can make early on as a, very much, I think, as a situational pass rusher.
A position of need.
Yes, that's good. That's
what
you're looking
for. Position of need. You want to find somebody just to put some depth in there. And, you're drafting in the 4th, 5th, 6th round guys that you see something in and you see maybe potentially in that you're hoping to untap it. Mm-hmm. It's there. You see some tools, and now you're hoping to tap into it and then really kind of get yourself a player that can become a starter for you.
Yeah.
Every draft choice at some point should be a guy you draft so he can become a starter.
Brad in Oak Brook. What's up, Brad?
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Hope you had a good weekend. York, you playing golf this weekend in that wind? How'd you do?
I did. 54.
It was windy.
Shot a 90 on Saturday and really had a good backside. Nice. Kicked it off with a birdie on 10 and kind of maintained the excellence all the way through.
Nicely done.
Well, birdies. We love circles on the scorecard. Nice. Thanks for taking my call. Just reaction to the Bears draft, and I honestly love what they did, really, with all the picks. And specific to the punter, I totally hear every counter argument to not doing that. I think I like it just because, sure, I can't disagree that it was a pick of sort of arrogance, but it's an opportunity to be a incredibly large, way out there outlier at a very specific part of the game. And what pops in my head, and this is something probably far more better, if that is with the Eagles in, Tush Push. They're such an outlier with that. And I get it's a unit. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. You can quantify it, right? That is for 6 points. That's for touchdowns.
That's for moving the chains. That's for touchdowns.
No,
yeah.
Right. Nobody can defend that. No, the entire NFL had nothing, no idea what to do with them. And here, we have a punter and Caleb Williams saying, no, you're not going to have too many punts here. That's great. Hilarious. Awesome. But, if we're ahead in a game late, how many times have we seen the Packers get incredible field position on us and then they just walk down, kick a field goal, or do what they have to do to take it away from us?
Yeah.
Now, if you go and do watch the highlights, and I'm chuckling because, yes, we are talking about a punter here, but this guy, a football is a golf ball to the guy with a 60-degree wedge. This ball is stopping.
All right. I don't, maybe you're right, Brad. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's it's so specialized and he's so good at it. I don't know. I'm not doing this all day. I got news for you. It was fun to start. I'm not breaking down punting. Yep.
I am not either.
You guys got people fired up. I got calls on punters.
Yeah, we got calls on punters.
Let's not belabor the point too much.
This is the Tiger Woods of punters is what I've just told. This is the Tiger Woods of punters, Carm. He's going to be, the Nike sign will be flowing into the hole at the 16th at the Masters on NFL football fields.
Stop following me.
I mean, I can't think of anything less interesting when talking about football than talking about kicking and punting. I'm serious. I'd rather talk about Taylor and Travis. It's 8 days a week before I want to start breaking down punting and kicking. So no, it ain't going to happen.
How many punter calls before you start yelling?
Carm's going to start yelling now. We get a couple more, and it's going to be... Now, like, Tom and Lombard thinks he can name five. That might be fun. We'll do that in a minute. Hold on, Tommy. But, like, I'm not getting into the finer points of punting and kicking here. We're not doing it. Matt's in Lockport. What's up, Matt?
What's going on, guys? This is not Bears related, but I want to call it. So obviously, you know, 2017, the Chiefs, a year or less removed from competing in the AFC, and they get the Bills pick, and they take Mahomes. I'm a graphic designer, so I've talked to Xavier Worthy quite a bit. I made his commitment to Michigan before he had to go to Texas. So Thursday morning, I texted him, like, as a joke, you and Mahomes are going to be unreal when they trade up. He ran a 4-2-1, so everybody's first thought is, like, don't let him go to Mahomes. So if you're the Bills, you know the Chiefs are looking at a receiver. You're probably pretty sure they're looking at him, and when there's receiver needy teams in front of the Chiefs, why on earth do you trade down with KC, let them get their guy, when you know you struggled to beat them last three years?
They obviously felt comfortable doing it. They knew what they were doing. I think you lay that out properly. Yeah. Now, they backed it up with Keon Coleman in the second round. I think a lot of people are pretty high on Keon Coleman. He stole the weekend, by the way. Did you see the press conference with the jacket?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
They went up and got some cookies.
It was fantastic. And he goes, I always do my shopping two seasons ahead. Smart kid. He's 100% right. He goes, no, you got to do your win. You've got to shop two seasons
in the summer.
Ahead.
Summer for winter.
So that you beat the rush and you get better cost. Like, Keon Coleman stole the weekend. So, obviously, I think the Bills knew what they were doing, and they feel pretty comfortable with Keon Coleman. Let's see here. Big O wants to talk.
Big O.
Now, Big O thinks Caleb Williams is the Black Baker Mayfield. I don't know if his opinion has changed at all. I doubt it has. What's up, Big O?
Hey, how are you fellas doing?
We're good, brother.
You're absolutely right about the arrogance. I spoke about that the very first time I called y'all. It's a thin line between confidence and arrogance. I told you guys when it was free agency, when it was time to trade Fields, the Bears have this arrogance about them. It's not confidence, it's arrogance, and that will destroy you. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams saying all the nice things, all the great things, oh, we won't need you, punter, and all that. Guess what? You paint yourself into a corner. You can't fail now. It's impossible. You have to go deep into the playoffs or it's a failure. No backing in a wild card. It's a failure. Point blank, period. Yeah. Have a good day, fellas.
Yeah, you too, Big O. Expectations certainly are going to be high. There's no doubt about that. Hopefully they embrace it. I think they are. More of your calls coming up at 312-332-3776. Recapping the draft weekend. Give out some more team grades and things like that. According to most of the experts, we'll tell you who did well, who did poorly. And the Penix to Atlanta thing, I think for a lot of people, is still a bit of a head scratcher. So lots to react to from the weekend. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back. This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Seen anywhere from high B to low A for Bears grades? Obviously, when you have two picks in the top nine, you know, you'd have to sort of almost try hard to screw those up.
Yeah.
I think, most
and they
of the,
didn't.
No, they did a great job with they it. Did. The board fell the way they wanted. They didn't outthink it. They didn't make any goofy trades, unloading valuable capital from next year. I mean, they gave up a fourth rounder to get back in. To the fifth round to grab Booker when they saw him falling in available. That's fine.
They have double-digit picks next year.
Yes, they do.
That's one they targeted. They feel like, hey, this guy's got some upside, could become a starter, become a player.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, that's what you're there for. That's what all those college scouts are around the country evaluating. You felt like you needed to make a move to make that happen? Good.
You didn't give up a first rounder or one of your seconds next year. That's what you protected and you held on to. So I think
Thank God.
The Bears handled it well.
Yeah. Yeah, thank God. I'm glad they held on to those picks.
Should we go to Tom and Lombard?
Let's go. I'm ready.
I got to sneeze. Hold on.
Good luck.
I was going to. I think I held it off. Okay, Tom's in Lombard. Hey, Tommy, what's up?
Stop following me.
Yeah.
Oof. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Okay, it's good. What's well here. You're going to have the last say, I think, on punters.
I was going to say, I hope not to bore you with my my punter list, and I'll give you some thoughts before I do. My big issue I have personally with the fourth round punter pick, you traded Fields. I know it's for next year's picks. You traded him for a sixth that could become a fourth?
A fourth, yeah.
So essentially, I look at that and I think, you know, what's the value there for Justin Fields? And, you know, I guess just how does that correspond to taking a punter in this year's fourth round. It's goofy. It's wacky. And I want to preface by saying I can only tell you these guys' names because they stick out in my head as fun names. Couldn't tell you where they're at, but I remember Tress Way. Tress Way was a guy that I heard his name.
Washington.
About.
Yeah. Washington. Yeah. Okay. Tress Way.
Now, are these all active punters you're giving us here?
I sure hope so, because I believe they are. But
Tress Way, it looks like, is still active. Good call. Okay, there's one.
Beautiful. Johnny Hecker, his name was thrown out around.
That's who I was thinking of.
Johnny Hecker was a... He was a name a couple of years ago. I feel like he couldn't stop here.
The Rams, right?
Carolina.
Oh, Carolina. Damn. Okay, I thought the Rams. He was with the Rams at some point, though, wasn't he?
His Rams time is what I'm familiar with.
That's who I was thinking of.
We've got those two.
Okay.
My favorite of the names, Rigoberto Sanchez.
That sounds made up, quite frankly. That sounds made up to me. But
he's a Colt.
Rigoberto.
He's a Colt.
Did he kick at Georgia?
Oh, did he? Did he kick at Georgia? Do you know, Tom? I don't know.
I don't know punters like that. I like the fun of the name.
All right, I would have thought that was a made-up name.
Hawaii, guys. He kicked at Hawaii.
I was close.
Close, Georgia, Hawaii. You've got two.
You're thinking of Rodrigo Blankenship.
With the glasses.
He's the kicker with glasses.
But he's a kicker. He's not a punter.
That's the same.
So you got three. You got two more, Tom.
We've got I think he's the 49ers guy. Mitch Wisnowski.
Polish kid, yes.
Sounds right. Okay.
Wisnowski.
And then we'll go fifth one, Trenton Gill.
There you go.
You named five. Tommy, that's impressive.
Nice job. You named five.
I couldn't do it. I could only name two. I looked at all the names. I couldn't do it today.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I'm looking through all of them.
It's funny.
I had to figure out where my favorite punter is now because he was a Packer for a little bit. J.K. Scott, best punter in Alabama history.
He's a Chargers now.
Charger?
See, you don't even know.
You're so folded. No one has a favorite punter.
He went to Alabama. He was their best punter. He was great. He was actually.
What are we doing here?
I'm calling BS. Nobody's ever said like they have a favorite field goal kicker or
or it's not true. Jeff Gossett was mine because he went to Eastern Illinois University.
Like, listen, we all love Butthead, right?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, like Butthead was a very lovable figure in Bears history.
Yes, he was.
You know, but at the end of the day, it's a kicker. Like Robbie, too. Robbie's great. We like Robbie.
Who doesn't like Robbie?
But it's a kicker.
It's what he is.
Like, I would, you know.
It doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you who you are.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Guys, what about Jordan Stout?
That's made up.
Out of Baltimore.
That's not a real name.
He's a real. Come on.
He's a punter.
Come on. I could go all day. You want me to keep naming you guys can guess? Punter. Come on.
Tommy Townsend's a real guy, right? I'm not making that up.
Yes.
How about Jake Camarda?
Who? Twitchers want to let you know he does not kick for Kansas City anymore.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No.
They moved on from him.
They moved on?
He was so valuable that they moved on.
They said goodbye.
Tommy Townsend? They signed Matt Ariza.
Matt Ariza.
Ariza.
That was the kid from Buffalo originally, right? ASU? Is that right? Went to Buffalo.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got caught up in that that unfortunate incident, but he was cleared of all that. They realized he wasn't even.
What about Logan Cook?
No clue. Who's Tommy Townsend punting for now? This is what I mean. Who cares? Chase is on the south side talking Bears draft. What's up, Chase?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Carm, how you feeling this weekend?
Pretty good.
Hey, man, your Sox won three in a row, man. Congratulations.
Celebration.
We will get to them in a little bit because there are two important things to note and take away from the weekend. We'll get to them in a little bit.
I know. I'm just messing with you, Carl. But seriously,
we have to mention them. Two things happened that need reaction.
Yeah. So when I called in, I told Dad I would talk Bears, but I asked you, Carl. I need your opinion. What did you think about the Giants passing on? Did you think they make a mistake passing on J.J. McCarthy and stick with Daniel Jones? Because, because remember what you said about the Bears, how they had to move on from Fields because of Ryan Poles, knowing that this was a rich quarterback draft, and if he decided to stick with Fields and pass up on these quarterbacks or whatever quarterback, and those quarterbacks turned out to be great, he could be out of a job.
Yeah.
And
I like
the Giants, and that's the same thing you could say for the Giants. Now, granted, they didn't have the draft, you know, they didn't have the higher pick like the Bears did, but still, J.J. McCarthy was there for them to take, and instead of no role for him, they decided to you know, take a receiver.
Yeah, which they needed badly. Let's face it. I mean, it's something that I think they needed badly.
But my point is, do you think that if this falls off, that there's a possibility, and I'm just connecting this to the Bears. So say, for example, right, let's say this Daniel Jones turns out to be a bum like we all think he is, and JJ McCarthy turns out to be great, and the Giants decide to fire Dable and move on from him, and then maybe even move on from the GM. Do you think there's a possibility where, let's say, you could connect Dable to the Bears, maybe bringing them in as a Bears, like, you know, whatever. Like,
you've got a lot of dominoes falling.
There's a lot of ifs there, Chase.
I can't
foresee anything that's got too many moving pieces.
I wouldn't rule anything out in this league, but I know where you're going, but we're operating on a whole bunch of assumptions there. And if the Bears are as good as I think they believe they're going to be, and we all hope they're going to be, coaching changes should not be in the cards. Look, you kept Eberflus. If they're firing Eberflus in a year, that's a huge problem.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm saying, like, say, okay, this is the concern that we always have about hiring a defensive coach, right? So
you mean if they lose Waldron? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Let's say hypothetically, the Bears offense is ranked top five and they go 12-5 or whatever and they go to the playoffs.
Yeah, and Waldron gets a job.
And then gets a job. Now we look searching for offensive coordinators. Yes. That when Dable could be a guy that we're interested in bringing in to develop. Because think about it. You bring him in, he's known as a quarterback whisperer. He'd probably be better off just being offensive coordinator anyway, given the situation. And maybe he's the guy you bring in if Waldron gets another job somewhere.
This is the classic. I cross Chase, that thanks. Bridge when I get
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you cross that bridge when you get there.
I mean, there's a whole lot of pieces that need to happen, a whole lot of things that need to be happening for any of that to be able to take place.
You'd need things to go pretty sideways in New York. Well, remember, the GM there handpicked Dable. Remember that. Like, that is important in terms of what a coach's long-term, or not, I shouldn't say long-term, just any sort of even short or long-term security is. So, like, there's that aspect. Yeah, you'll cross that bridge when you get there. It is something that comes up for the franchises that do decide to go defense with their head coach. But I think Yurko's right. All you can do, you cross that bridge when you get there.
That's it.
They know the situation they're in, or they potentially will be in.
12-5, you know.
Yeah.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Yes, exactly.
Coach of the year, blah, blah, blah. All that good. That's all sounds fantastic. Yes, 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 yes.
Right.
And I don't care what happens in New York. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
But if our guy leaves, then you figure out what you've got to do when you get there, depending upon what else happened in the NFL.
Yeah. All right. We got more of your phone calls coming up. We're continuing to react to the NFL draft from this weekend. I want to play some good Joel Klatt stuff. He's such a good analyst on college football. He sees all these guys. He knows the quarterback position, obviously, very, very well. He had some interesting things to say about Penix and the Falcons taking him with the 8th overall pick. He briefly mentioned Caleb Williams while he was talking about Michael Penix and his ability to come into the league right now and play well for a team at the quarterback position. So I want to give that a spin for everybody in case you missed it from this weekend. He was on Rich Eisen's podcast. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Listen to us now. Live on the ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN Chicago.
Hope everyone's having a great day so far. Hope you had a great weekend. Weather was pretty nice. Windy, though. My God, was it windy the last couple of days. But it was nice. I want to play Joel Klatt talking on the Rich Eisen podcast. Take a listen to this, Yurk. On Michael Penix Jr., the selection, 8th overall, going back to last Thursday, which surprised just about everybody, considering they spent $100 million in the offseason on Kirk Cousins. So this was Friday. I saw it late in the day Friday. We were already off the air, but I wanted to play it today. This is Joel Klatt, who's a great college football analyst and sees all these guys and knows them well and knows the quarterback position well. Here he is talking about Michael Penix going to Atlanta. Take a listen.
If you're going to give Kirk Cousins $100 million, you've got to go completely on board with winning a championship in that window that you opened up with Kirk Cousins. You don't do that by thinking about 2028. I understand the succession plan, and we've seen the succession plan work at different organizations, namely Green Bay. But this is not a quarterback that needed time to develop. in a lot of ways, outside of Caleb maybe, but even maybe with Caleb in the equation, Michael Penix was the most pro-ready guy in the draft from the quarterback position, just because of what he does from the pocket, what he was asked to do at Washington under Kalen DeBoer, the amount of times per game that he would sit in the pocket and have to read things out down the field, make post-snap decisions, throw the ball with leverage and accuracy and pace down the field. Like, he did all of those things. He's ready to play. Go sit behind Kirk Cousins? If I was Michael Penix, I would be more furious than even Kirk Cousins. I waited all that time. I had all those injuries. I got myself to Washington, had these two amazing years. I'm an older guy. What's more valuable in the NFL, being drafted in the top 10 or getting a second contract? Getting a second contract. How does Michael Penix get on the field to prove himself ready for a second contract? Now, when's a second contract going to be? I just don't understand. And you also just don't win a championship when you have a mountain of dead cap space. So I don't understand it.
Still the biggest head scratcher of the weekend, if you ask me. And you know, you hear this idea, well, Carm, you've mentioned it. Last year, 67 quarterbacks took a snap. It was some obscene number. Yeah, guys get hurt. I get that. If you're the Falcons and you start attacking this offseason and you've got any question about Kirk Cousins' ability to stay on the field because of his age and the injury he's coming off of, and you know your head coach is head over heels in love with Michael Penix Jr., and you're picking eighth, why aren't you signing Gardner Minshew instead of $100 million on Kirk Cousins?
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, Eric, like, it just doesn't make sense to me. I really think it's a big flub. If you're worried that we need a backup plan, if he gets hurt, that don't spend $100 million on Kirk Cousins. Sign Gardner. Sign Sam Darnold. Sign Gardner Minshew and draft Michael Penix.
If that was your plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just strange.
But with the signing of Kirk Cousins, I thought they were on 100% going defense.
100%.
Too, yeah. And I know with the next three picks, they did go defense.
They did go defense. You're right. But I think that was Joel's point, too. Like,
yeah.
You should now be thinking about everything you need to do to ensure that you're in a position in these next couple of years with Kirk where you're going to win that division, make the playoffs, and contend. And it's just, it's still a very big head scratcher, if you ask me. I don't get it.
And it is. Now, the only thing that happened here is if in 9 weeks into the season, Kirk Cousins gets banged up, you get a couple of games out of Penix where you get to see what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough to kind of other teams to be able to kind of figure out exactly what he's all about this early in his career. But a couple week injury, you get him. He's exciting for the Atlanta Falcons. You got a little bit of buzz. Kirk Cousins gets back on the field. And, you know, Atlanta's going to do what Atlanta does. They've still got problems at the defensive tackle position. Mm-hmm. That hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. Whether anybody likes it or not, they've still got problems at that position. But it's weird. It was weird when it happened to Favre. It's weird when it happened to Aaron Rodgers. It's just weird. You can't make the team better. We were going to compete. We want to do something. You don't need the quarterback. You don't have to take a quarterback. There's six quarterbacks taken in the top 12 picks.
You know when the next one went?
At least three of them are busts.
Yeah, and do you know when the next one went?
11th.
No. It was like...
I thought it went 8th. 11th for McCarthy and 12th.
No, I'm saying after the six in the top 12, the next quarterback didn't go until Spencer Rattler. Right. Like, what was it, like 150 or something?
Yeah.
Where did I read? Who
There's
said
like
it?
137 picks in between the two, something like that.
I was reading one of
the greatest like length of not taking a quarterback in draft history.
I was reading one of the recaps, and forgive me, whomever wrote this, whichever reporter wrote that they talked to a couple of people, like a couple of scouts / personnel people in the league, Yerk, and the quote was, like, we could be seeing, like, the end of the day two quarterback, meaning second and third round, that everybody goes nuts to get a quarterback in the first round because it's such a valuable position, and then after that, you're looking for, well, we'll just take a chance in rounds 5, 6, and 7 on a developmental project.
Let's see how next year goes.
Let's see.
The talent at the top is not what it was
Shadur
this year.
And Drew Allar, I guess, right? Although you never know the way the hype machine goes, Chris. Like, a year from now, we could be like, remember when we said there wasn't much hype and just the way this thing goes nuts because quarterback is so important? What if we're, you know, is somehow Drew Allar going to be the top pick? Can you imagine?
It could also explain why six went so early this year. Because maybe. Teams know what's on the horizon.
Maybe that's an interesting point.
And so if you're
point.
A team that's looking to fix that position, you had to take a quarterback in this draft because the crop, you know, the Carson Beck, those individuals next year who are going to be playing for the top teams,
yeah,
they really are second, third, fourth round graded players.
That could be.
I think it all, like, let's see how the next couple of years play out.
Before we know if it's like an actual trend, right?
Because last year at this time, everyone was writing the same thing, that Caleb Williams was one and Drake May was two. Yeah. Drake fell to three, but the experts were pretty damn close, right?
Yep.
Like that's pretty good. We knew that was going to be the case.
At the end of the day, it was pretty close. You're right. So I guess maybe we do, like, let's just wait and see what next spring brings. The good news is, hopefully, the Bears, you know, well, certainly they won't be, but, like, we don't have to worry about it. Hopefully the Bears got their guy, and the rest is history. Jack's on the north side. What's up, Jack?
Hey, I just want to say, I think, as an Iowa fan, Torrey Taylor is a home run pick in the fourth round. He makes the defense better, and nobody has more reps punting than he does.
Well, that's for damn sure. Thank you, Jack. Makes the defense better. Go ahead, Mr. Defensive Lineman.
Nope. I've already said it.
I can't believe how many calls.
Draft choice of arrogance. That's what that was for a team that won 7 football games.
Your arrogance offends me. The cost just went up 10%. Jim's in Ukrainian Village. What's up, Jim?
You know, I hate to argue with you on this, but as a Wisconsin Badger fan,
oh God,
that freaking Torrey Taylor guy is just a pain in my butt. We haven't beat them for 2 years because of that guy. He's like their team MVP, best I can tell. He did everything, but our starting field position was garbage every time he set foot on the field.
Okay, all right, Jimmy.
That sounds like an indictment on Iowa football.
Of course it is an indictment.
That's what it's
Wisconsin football.
Yeah, Wisconsin exactly. Too, yeah. Yeah.
You let a punter beat you?
Have you seen the last couple of years of Wisconsin football? Poor Jim.
Who's the head coach up there? I don't even know
the
anymore.
Head coach at Wisconsin is Luke Fickell. From who left the Cincinnati to take the job.
Yeah, I think he's a little wishy washy.
All right,
that was just awful.
All right,
awfully good. I like that Fickell wishy washy. Ever since they got rid of Paul Chryst, they've been garbage. Chryst.
Yeah, been
garbage up
Some
there.
Some would say they were ready. I mean, I think most of the Wisconsin fans were probably ready to move on. When by the end of Chris's tenure anyway. There's not a lot of great football in the Big Ten outside of Michigan and Ohio State. Let's face it. Little Penn State, although Penn State never seems to win a big one.
Every blue moon.
They never win, like, the really big one.
Right.
You know, but Penn State's good. I mean, you know, well, Big Ten football, there's a lot to be desired, let's face it.
I've got to go over the roster next year. We've got so many more Big Ten football teams next year.
Well, now you have USC.
Is that going to happen? Yeah, that's happening, right?
Yes.
We've got so many different Big Ten teams. I don't even know what the Big Ten is anymore.
Now you have Oregon. Now you have Washington.
Yeah.
Now you have USC.
It's hard for me to say that it's only Ohio State and Michigan now.
You're right.
The Big 20. Now that we have the Big 20.
They've added some talent. More of your Bears calls. If you got a thought on the draft, just your level of excitement. You know, if you think back to these last few weeks, these last few months, the culmination of it over the weekend. And how excited are you for Caleb and Roma Dunze and just this entire squad now to hit the ground running? 312-332-3776. We're back in 2 minutes.